To pay tribute, the band will now play A Change Is Gonna Come by Sam Cooke. Fans, please alert your attention to the Jumbotron.
Tiger fans, welcome to episode 48 of the official Tiger Talk with the 1400 Club podcast, bringing you all the latest news, updates, and buzz surrounding your mighty JSU Tigers. I am the Corey C. Be sure to download and subscribe to the podcast to be notified of every new episode. Apple users, rate and review the show, and everyone, follow Tiger Talk with the 1400 Club on Facebook and Tiger Talk 1400 on Twitter. It all helps the cause, which is the I love Jackson State University. Hosting today's show are Charles Bishop and Chris Neely.
Welcome back into another Tiger Talk with the 1400 Club episode. And this episode is a special episode. While we primarily are a Jackson State Athletics podcast, when presented with the opportunity to bring in two alumni of Jackson State who worked on this momentous chapter in the state of Mississippi, the removal of the now former state flag of Mississippi, we jumped at the opportunity to bring these gentlemen on. And I wanted to welcome to the podcast a representative of the House side of the Mississippi State Legislature, State Representative Christopher M. Bell. Welcome in.
Hey, thanks, Charles. Appreciate you. Thank you for allowing me to be here today.
Sure thing. And representing the Senate side of the state legislature, the iconic, the venerable Senator Hillman Frazier. Welcome in, sir.
Thanks. Glad to be here. Looking forward to the show, podcast.
No doubt about it. And I wanted to start things off, you know, I know there was not one simple thing that started the process of the removal of the flag. Of course, the entire world was looking at the state of Mississippi. But I wanted, if you could, to kind of take us behind the curtain, if you will, in terms of the role you played, especially at the beginning of this effort. And if my timeline is right, it seems as though things really started at the beginning of the month of June, or roughly June 6th or so. I remember the protests in the state of Mississippi, protesting the killing of George Floyd. But from there, you go to mid-June, and the Southeastern Conference condemned the flag. They demanded that it be changed. Then the NCAA chimed in later, and then we got basically Mississippi Baptist Convention. Kylan Hill also chimed in, threatening to leave the state over the state flag. Then it was even Walmart. But, you know, kind of take us through that process, if you will.
Well, Chuck, what happened for us on the House side, it was around June 4th, June 5th. Myself and a colleague, we were actually walking to get some coffee or passing by each other from getting coffee. And she pulled me to the side and she said, "Hey, if you guys are talking about doing something with respect to the flag, you know, count me in." And I told her, I said, "Well, yeah, we actually have had some preliminary conversations, a small group of us. But if, you know, you can pull some Republican colleagues that are interested in being a part of it, let me know. And, you know, we can talk about it." And honestly, Chuck, I blew it off to a certain extent. You know, I went back to my desk, sat on it for 24 hours, and then came back in the next day and was like, "Hey, guys, this is what happened yesterday. What do you think? Can we trust it?" And we put the meeting together on that Thursday or Friday before the protest in Jackson. And we set it up for that Monday at 3 p.m. in room 114. And we had a bipartisan group of individuals, various ranges of age, different ethnicities, of course, different parties. And we all came together and mapped out a solution or a roadmap as to how we would secure enough votes to
have a resolution suspension being introduced. Mm-hmm. And when we left that room, like I said, we're all charged with getting individuals to say that they were willing to vote to change the flag. And it was more so on the Republican side versus the Democratic side. But we also understood that those Republicans were going to need some of our voices as well as to why it was important to change the flag for the state of Mississippi. The individuals that were doing the protests throughout the world and the nation, as well as Jackson, certainly 100% were a part of the equation as to why this flag changed. Wow. My desk mate, which is which she is amazing, she contacted the NCAA. She sent emails, had phone conversations with them, and that was the turning point when the NCAA came in, the SEC came in. I mean, it was a beautiful effort on the House side. It was a beautiful effort by those individuals. you know, I've always said that change occurs in small groups, and mm-hmm. that small group made a significant change. And we had allies that we didn't even count on having throughout this process. It was the most organized, unorganized campaign I've ever been a part of, because you had individuals on the Republican side that were going out to dinner and having drinks with folks and didn't realize they were in a focus group with different individuals. Wow. As to the process of changing the flag. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you get people comfortable, they express their true feelings of how they really feel. And that's what happened. You had individuals mm-hmm. That actually went out and made a difference and made a change. You know, some of those guys, you know, they made a sacrifice for their seats, so to speak, because a lot of them were concerned about losing their seats as a result of their constituents being upset because they voted for the flag change. Sure. But at the end of the day, they wanted to be on the right side of history, and that's all that matters.
No doubt about it.
So, Senator Frazier, take us through that same process on the Senate side, where you guys were going.
I think a good starting point is a couple of years ago when the state of Mississippi was chosen to host the Southern Legislative Conference. That is a conference of all Southern legislators who meet once a year to talk about policy going forward. And Mississippi was the host state on the coast that year. Our Mississippi Legislative Black Caucus took a stance that we would boycott that coast convention because of flags. And we talked to other national legislators. We served also with the National Black Caucus of State Legislators. We talked with them about boycotting our own conference in Mississippi. And they did that. And when they refused to come to the coast, they lost money. They lost money because of that. And they did get the attention of some of those, in particular, the speaker who was chairing that event that time around. So he came out in favor of a flag some years ago, but we saw no action on his part in terms of moving the ball forward. Coming up to this session, there were bills introduced on the Senate side and the House side to remove the flag. And the last bill that was introduced was a suspension resolution, and it was sent to the Constitution Committee as opposed to the Rules Committee. We talked. We knew we had folks in the Rules Committee to push that forward, push it out, but the leadership was not ready to go to that step. The hanging point was that a lot of our colleagues thought that since we had a vote on the flag in 2001, we should also have a vote on the same flag in 2020. And we had to negotiate with members of our own Senate. Our presiding officer wanted to have a new flag, but he wanted to also put the old flag on the ballot 2 years from now to get the people's choice of a new flag or the old flag. But our Senate Democrats held our ground. We said that we would not support any type of referendum. If we're going forward with a new flag, it must be done by the legislature. But House and the Senate, without going through the agony of a statewide referendum. Well, Lieutenant Governor came back with a separate proposal. He said that what we'll do, we would give you a choice of two flags on the ballot in 2022 as opposed to doing it in 2020, because he said in 2020 the turnout's going to be so large, you're going to have the elect for the president on the ballot, and that might be very detrimental to passing a new flag altogether. So the Democrats still just line saying that we would only support votes by the Mississippi legislature. Well, on the other side of the hall, Speaker Donald working very hard getting the votes to suspend the rules to come up with a new flag altogether. So once we knew that he was working, we decided to dig in even deeper on the Senate side to let the Lieutenant Governor know that we would not support any type of referendum for the old flag on it. Well, the old flag was removed from discussion, and the compromise was that we would have a new flag, but a commission would select a new flag, and the old flag would not be on the ballot in 2020 as opposed to 2022. And also, it specifically stated that no part of the Confederacy would be on our new flag on the ballot in 2020. And also, they said that any new flag must include the scripture from our state seal in God we trust. And they said that would be that would soften the blow for some who wanted a direct referendum. And once we got that, and also folks started coalescing, we created the perfect storm because different people started coming in supporting and calling for a new flag. So they saw how detrimental the old flag was to the state of Mississippi. We pointed out there was an economic issue back in 2 years ago when we boycotted it, and they saw the impact of it. When they saw that other organizations and other conferences started boycotting the state because of the flag, it got the attention of policymakers in the municipal legislature, and they gave us that intention to go even further. And also the Black Lives Movement played a very important role because we had a big, massive protest in the city of Jackson, a very mixed group, working very hard, very peaceful, but led by the new generation. Those young students were very peaceful, and they knew that they were marching for a change because they wanted to go forward as opposed to going backward. And they got the attention of the legislature in terms of men going forward to come up with a new flag. And so we did manage to get the votes from the Senate side to go on the House side to put this measure on the ballot in 2020 in November.
Well, I'll tell you what, gentlemen, I know I speak on behalf of Chuck and all our listeners when I say how valuable your leadership was in this effort and leading up to it, because as both of you have alluded to, that this didn't just start, you know, in June. It's been an ongoing process for many a legislative session, for many years and many decades. And to see that this come fruition, you know, in this year, 2020, compounded with a pandemic going on, is just a testament to your individual and collective, you know, legislative abilities to understand the process and rule suspensions and how to get this done in the most awkward of settings, you know, versus just a general filing of a bill. And you know, Senator, you mentioned the Black Lives Matter protest that took place, you know, the days before. I happened to attend it, and one of the things that I noticed from the crowd, the age and the diversity, and when I compare that to the flag vote of 20 years ago, I was enthusiastic that now Mississippi had the numbers to vote for a new flag. However, I was gravely concerned about what a campaign would look like. You know, you two and myself included have run for office before, and campaigns can be bloody, and I think that the legislative leadership on getting this thing done and avoiding a campaign, a statewide referendum, no matter how the election results would have turned out, the bloodletting, so to speak, that during a campaign leading up to it would have been something that would have been detrimental for Mississippi economics. So I think your leadership in that regard, you know, needs to be saluted as well.
Right. That would have given us a big, big negative going forward, because I was on the commission in 2001 when they had a statewide referendum. Our Democratic governor appointed a commission to go around holding hearings around the state. I went to every hearing around the state on the flag, and it was very contentious back then. In fact, I had to go to a hearing in Moorhead, Mississippi. The highway patrolman who was charged with driving me down there dropped me off and left because he was so afraid that something was happening. I saw the river flags going back and forth. And those meetings were very, very heated because folks were very passionate about keeping that old flag because it was part of their heritage and we're trying to rewrite history. But we were telling them that their history belongs in a museum as opposed to on state buildings and schools. And also, an important thing that we can't overlook is the fact that a lot of our cities stopped flying the flag, a lot of our universities stopped flying the state flag. So we had to help educate the legislature in terms of what we should be doing going forward. So like we pointed out in 2020, in 2001. It was very hot, very contentious, very ugly, and we didn't want to go down that road again in 2020.
Oh yes, sir.
And
you know, I was on the city council in Jackson, and I want to say that my very first vote was to remove the flag from city property. And then that summer, we rolled into the flag hearings, and I remember you and David, Senator David Jordan, being at the one in Millsaps, and here we are, you know, in even 20 years ago, majority black Jackson at a neutral site such as Millsap College, and even that meeting, you know, got contentious, and that was the kind of thing that just led me to think whatever we need to do to avoid a campaign, not necessarily taking the wheel away from the people, decision-making from the people, but to avoid that campaign. Because one thing that folks lose sight of, Chuck, is that this thing is not a democracy, it's a republic. You know, we don't vote on every single issue. We elect leaders who make decisions like this. And so when folks get out there and say things like, oh, you went around the people, you didn't let the people, well, that's not the way the Constitution is. You know, it's a republic from which it stands. So I applaud you gentlemen again and both of the bodies that you represent to just understand and the process of getting people to buy in. I know as Representative Bell mentioned, there are a lot of conversations that take place, you know, behind doors, but you guys were coming out and informing folks of that process as best you could, and I think that helped a groundswell. One thing I want to ask to both of you in that regard, you know, this has been going on a long time, this fight to change the flag. And as we talk about that intersection of social justice and how athletics and even black athletics play a role in that, this was a time that you saw, you know, sports really have an impact on decision-making process. Representative Bell mentioned the NCAA and SEC coming in. You know, start with you, Senator Frazier. What did you see as that process, as sports began to push this needle, unlike before in past flag discussions?
Yes, one thing about Mississippi, football is religion in Mississippi. Athletics is religion in Mississippi. When our legislators saw athletes at our campuses moving away, transferring out because of the coach in Mississippi State who was brought in, who talked about the news, and also some didn't want to put another state flag, when they saw that Palin Hill made a strong statement that he could not represent Mississippi as long as the flag was flying, that did get the attention of many of our colleagues. And also when they saw the unity of our athletic directors and our coaches in Mississippi coming together at the state capitol demanding that we change that flag because it was hurting them athletically and also financially, the legislatures took note of that. Although the Baptists and the Pentecostals and Methodists all got together and came up there demanding a flag, when athletes became a part of it, that was a new ball game altogether because they were able to push over the finish line. It was just like it was fourth and goal with one play left. But when the when the athletes came in, they pushed it across the finish line. We called the play and they made it work.
Mm-hmm.
They were more than they were activists.
Right.
And I was very proud about the Jackson State coaches who were on the front line hollering very hard for it, and also Val and Alcorn. They were on the front line advocating for a change, and we listened to them, and it happened because they were involved in politics.
And that's why we appreciate them being there with it, but just for the record, Val and Alcorn were on the second line. Jackson State was on the first line.
That's right.
Hey, you know, even in this issue where we can all agree, we still have a pecking order as far as where we are. So,
to echo what the good Senator Frazier said, it was a movement. We caught the and let me just say this: we, because I feel a part of all of this.
Sure.
The student athletes caught the attention of these legislators, as well as the lieutenant governor, because in the beginning, the Speaker of the House, Philip Gunn, in 2015 was all on board. I mean, he came out and said, look, we need to change this. This flag is detrimental to the state of Mississippi and the people that it represents. As a former quarterback at Baylor College, Baylor University, Speaker Gunn understood the significance of how it would affect athletes representing the state of Mississippi. So when Kalen Hill came out with, I can't play under this flag, and it caught everybody's attention, it made a big difference. And the other aspect of it is, you know, you really think about the majority of our white institutions that are in the state of Mississippi, they all depend on African-American athletes.
Certainly.
And if each of one of those athletes decided, you know what, I'm going to sit out,
mm-hmm.
they would definitely lose money. So it resonated to the right people, the right mm-hmm. boosters, alumni, they recognized it. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, you may not be able to change their hearts with respect how they feel about that flag, but we definitely, the process hit them in their pockets and in their hearts of football to make them understand how significant this is.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask this question, and the question I want to ask is there a way to quantify what this means for the state economically, especially from an athletic standpoint going forward? In terms of tearing down this flag and what it could potentially mean for the state in terms of the SEC or championship games, I'm sorry, being played in the state of Mississippi.
Right, there's a way to quantify that because by not playing those championship games and playoff games in Mississippi, the schools and the conference will lose money as a result of that. But we can't determine how much it is based on how much they made in the past. Unfortunately, they lose numbers before some of the members going forward. But yes, there's a way to quantify that. And also, we got a long big haul from the Mississippi Economic Council. They were telling us how many businesses decided not to locate here because of the flag, and how many companies just don't want to do business because of the flag. So there's a way to quantify that because we do have some of the records in terms of those companies we miss not getting here because of the flag and those we're trying to recruit going forward. So, yes, there's a way to quantify it. And I'm going to point out one other thing while we're on that point. My hat's off to Jordan Jefferson, who's one of the Jackson football players who was up here almost every day talking to the legislators one-on-one about the importance of coming up with a new flag to represent everybody in the state. And it took a lot of guts on the part of that young man who lived here every day to show the state how much it meant to him going forward. And he was one of the top athletes academically on campus. I think he was student government president, and also he got a scholarship to Yale, Harvard, and other institutions. But it was very personal to him. He was up here every day sweating it and talking to legislators. And people like that one-on-one made a difference. Legislators talking to the one-on-one, and also everyday citizens and students coming up and talking to us one-on-one. It really made a difference because we had to listen to what they were saying because we're trying to secure their future because their future is really important in terms of what we're going in the state.
Right. One of the things that, you know, you talked about quantifying the loss of potential loss, rather, I like to look at it as the future gains. And the future gains for the state of Mississippi outweigh the losses. So you basically have said to the rest of the nation and the rest of the world that the state of Mississippi is ready to enter into the global economy. And I say that as meaning that we will be able to attract students that stated that before that they wouldn't want to come because of the flag or the perceived racial tension here in the state of Mississippi as a result of that flag. You open the door to new industry, as Hillman mentioned. You open the door to individuals that will come here, fall in love with Jackson, fall in love with the idea of bringing Jackson up or making Jackson better than what it is or the state of Mississippi better than it is. And you have that. You don't have that brain drain that flows as frequently as it does now. You slow that brain down because you give these individuals an opportunity to say that, you know, there is hope here. And that's what we hopefully will have, prayerfully will have. This is a huge deal. Hopefully we'll be able to attract some NFL preseason games here in the future. Maybe the Saints training camp can come again, once again. I mean, there are opportunities. Major League Baseball. We don't have a lot of African Americans playing in Major League Baseball. Maybe Jackson can be that hub for Major League Baseball spring training a couple of times. So, I mean, this opens up a lot of opportunities and avenues for the state.
Yeah, I agree with both gentlemen that, you know, one of the things that you can't quantify in this is, you know, sometimes you got to have customers to have a business. And when you've had organization after organization say that they won't come here because of the flag, and then so in the back of your mind, you know you don't have a customer base. And so here's where I'm going with that. Now that the NCAA Women's Final Four can be in Mississippi, well, now Mississippi can start doing some things, partner with, say, for instance, Jackson State, with Hines County, with the city of Jackson, to build an arena that can host that kind of event because now you have a customer base for it. See, you know, on the NFL side of things, they build the stadiums to one day host the Super Bowl. You know, they don't have to deal for the Super Bowl first. They go out and build that stadium, and they know that all we have to do is host one time, and we're covered. And so it's the same kind of concept here. Now that our customer base, as Representative Bell put it, has opened up to the world, if we try to count the economic ripple effect of what this is going to mean, we would still not be able to count all the ripples because it's going to be 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 years from now.
That's right.
Things are going to still be happening economically and relative to this podcast, sports economically, that we wouldn't even at that point know was attached to the flag. Or the flag being gone, but it most definitely is. So I think it's going to be a huge boost, the seen and unseen. I think it opens up, you know, tremendous opportunity economic development-wise as it relates to sports, as Representative Bell was saying, you know, MLB, NFL from training camps to people hosting events here, the NCAA hosting events here. Now you're in the room for discussion that this is a possibility. And I throw this out to each other. I had the opportunity this year to attend the Senior Bowl down in Mobile. There ain't nothing going on in Mobile that couldn't be in Jackson.
Sure.
You know, we have a better stadium than the one place that hosts in Mobile. We have better hotels than the hotels in Mobile. And we had, you know, it's in the capital city and the airport is right here, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, what was holding us back was a dinosaur relic from the racial past. Now that that's gone and Mobile's deal is expiring, now you have the opportunity to bid.
Sure.
It's open season.
You hit on a good point that I have been working and talking with Ricky Thigpen with the Jackson Visitors and Convention Center. That is one of the primary conversations that I've had with him for the last 2 years was to go after the Senior Bowl to come to Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
You are 100% correct. Our city, this state, has an excellent opportunity in gaining that Senior Bowl. We have everything that Mobile does not have.
Mm-hmm.
We have facilities here, whether it's at Jackson State, Millsaps. We have the facilities here to house those individuals. We have hotel room, hotel spaces, and we have more activities.
Mm-hmm.
We have a mayor that's progressive that is looking for opportunities to bring to the city of Jackson. And we have a stadium that can hold those individuals. So you are correct. You are correct. And that is something that needs to be pushed again.
Representative Bell, I tell you like this, and you know me a long time now. When I walk in the party, she might tell me no, but I'm gonna ask the prettiest girl to dance. And we have been so Senator Frazier, I don't care if it's Beyonce. I'm asking. Beyonce might tell me no, but I'm gonna
no one ever kills you.
And so what we have had psychologically, even with you know the skilled leadership of Senator Frazier or Representative Bell. We haven't been able to go after Beyonce because we know she's going to say no because of the flag. Well, now that has been removed, you're walking into the party, and you will walk up to the pretty girl. I don't care how long the Senior Bowl has been in Mobile. Now we have something to offer. Now we have to go out there and say, hey, I want you to take a look at Jack. And they may say no the first couple of times. And that's okay because there are other bowl games and there are other events now that are sports-related that now we can go after and get. And I tell people all the time, you know, we can put aside, we know what the right thing was and we're on the right side of history. But let's just take that argument off the table a second. Here's what we know for sure. The flag wasn't making us no money.
Right.
So we know worst case, it's not going to lose us knowing if it wasn't making us know it. But by removing it, look how we have opened the doors of opportunity now. And now it's up to us, particularly I know these two are Jackson State graduates and their districts are in Hinds County, so that touches the capital city. We've now got to go out courting. We got to ask some people. We got to introduce the new Mississippi to folks and get some stuff to come here and have the facilities to host it and invest in it, because that's how we recycle and ripple effect that dollar. So your leadership and getting this done, it just cannot be applauded enough.
No doubt about
it. Appreciate
it,
bro.
Yeah, immediately after we took that vote to change flag, I went home and accepted a phone call from a legislator in Georgia. He said that they're not considering bringing the conference to Mississippi now because we removed that flag. And so that's going to mean millions of dollars coming in terms of revenue. And also, once they come in and do tourists, they're going to bring their families here for other vacations. So it's going to be very positive for Mississippi for because of the action that we took last weekend, changing the flag.
No doubt about it. And I wanted to kind of close out on this note here. You know, and this thing moves so rapidly, and we're still a relatively short time frame. But just have you had an opportunity to kind of really process what has all happened in terms of you guys working to remove this state flag?
I have not. I have not. Honestly, it's been overwhelming. It's been refreshing. It's been a pleasant surprise because, you know, you guys know that I'm all things Chicago, and I never thought I'd see Chicago Cubs win a World Series. I definitely thought I would never see see the Bulls win NBA championship six at Miami. Mm-hmm. But literally, I never thought in my lifetime I'd see that flag. And that was the feeling I had the day that the flag was officially removed, the day that we let the suspension resolution come outside of the House, and the day the Senate voted as well to remove that flag. Those were worth 10 Chicago Cubs World Series and a Chicago Bears victory over the Dallas Cowboys.
I knew that was coming.
You can wait on it. I mean, and Senator Frazier, you've been on the front lines of this for a long time with just giants of the legislature, Henry Kirksey, Ed Blackmun, and so many more to name. What does this moment mean for you?
It means so much because I remember how hard we fought years ago before it was possible to do so. I remember how we stood put Fordyce to remove the flag, and we were not successful in that. But after we had this big battle last weekend, it showed the world what can happen when we work together, put politics aside, and work in a nonpartisan manner. I received calls from Australia and Vietnam, of all places, because they were watching what we were doing in Mississippi. Now we have a chance to tell our own story, how progressive we are, what we can do going forward, and what we plan to do, because folks are looking at Mississippi, and they see how we were able to pull this flag down without a very violent incident like what happened in South Carolina. But like I said, I was able to reflect on that and said that we have a grand opportunity to do something great for the future of our state, by showing the world that we work together and then making sure that we don't celebrate too much because we still have so much work to do. It's not time to take that victory lap as we talk. It's time to plan and just work on the next victory, because there are many victories we're going to have in this state to get where we need to be.
Sure.
No doubt. Well, I can echo my co-host sentiments. Gentlemen, thank you for all your hard work, for what you've done for our state of Mississippi. And thank you for coming on the 1400 Club podcast. You really took us behind the curtains and really provided us just tremendous insight on a momentous chapter in the state of Mississippi, and provided us an economic breakdown of what could be for our great state. So thank you once again.
Yeah, thank you for having
Thanks for having
thank
us.
You.
And that'll do it for episode 48 of Tiger Talk with the 1400 Club. Thank you to all of our listeners. And again, be sure to download and subscribe to the podcast. Apple users, rate and review the show. And everyone, follow Tiger Talk with the 1400 Club on Facebook and Tiger Talk 1400 on Twitter. I can't stress the importance of this enough. We're looking to do some big things with this platform to aid the athletics department, and it all starts with you downloading, subscribing, rating, and reviewing the show. And tell every Tiger that you know. We're on all podcast outlets: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, CastBox, and so on. And we'll be posting each episode on our Facebook and Twitter pages. As always, thank you for your support. Go Tigers! Hashtag the I love.
Blue Nation and all of you in attendance, we ask that you become the change that you want to see.